Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing."
Look at the next part of this series that we're going through. We pray that you, as you speak to us and as you challenge us, will cause us to bring a response that truly does bring glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I don't have a real lot to say before we look to the movie that we're going to view, because it's very self-explanatory. And at the same time, I would think that if we're honest with it, it will be very challenging for us as a church, and at the same time, an incredible aid to someone who is seeking out salvation as well. Before we look at it, I just want to highlight a couple of things that's contained in the passage that Linda read for us. But before we do that, I just want to make sure that we are aware of something which we should all be aware of, and that is that almost everything we do as a church is based around tradition. It's based around our own set of rights and wrongs and customs and church rules. Every Sunday we arrive here for 9:30. Some people think the rule is we've got to arrive at 9 o'clock because you've got to get a park. But 9:30 is when you have to have church. And then within the church service, there's things you have to have. You have to have at least 5 songs or 4 hymns, or and then you have to make sure you have to have someone particularly come up and do a Bible reading. And you have to have the announcements, and you have to make sure you mention tonight's prayer meeting at 6:30, because if you don't mention that, then people forget that. I forget that if I don't hear it announced. But all of those things are just our customs. They are just our traditions. Now, they are great for us because they help us in our Christian journey, don't they? They're good things, and the things that we do through the week, they help us in our Christian journey. So they're not wrong in themselves. But we had never, or we should never, impose our customs and our traditions on someone who is seeking a saviour, someone who is wanting to find a place in God's kingdom. What we need to present to them is the purity of the gospel, the purity of who Jesus Christ is, and that Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ brings new life. And all the other bits, honestly, they can take or they can leave. They're entitled to do that. We can talk through why we do what we do, but let's make sure that the purity of the gospel is maintained. The passage that we had read for us today is one that Peter probably wished was never recorded. Right back in the early church, he got reprimanded. I think it's the New Century Version says in verse 11, this is what Paul says, "I was against Peter because he was wrong." How would you like that declaration? How'd you like someone just to come out and say, "Don't like what you're doing, hate what you're doing, you're wrong." But it was that big an issue. Peter, in the early stages, was beginning to choose when he put on the Jewish laws or turned them away. He was trying to put the Jewish laws onto the new Gentiles. Polluted the gospel. Today, as we watch this video, as I say, I believe we'll all be challenged. But it's all about making sure that we have created in us a clean heart and that our spirit is renewed, a right spirit within us. Please be challenged as we look at this movie today.
Association game. I'll give you a word and you see what word comes to mind. Church. When you think of church, what word do you think of? Now, don't say this out loud, but what word comes to mind when you think of church? What about this word? Christians. What word would you associate with the Christians that you know? What word would come to your mind? In 1969, there was this river in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cuyahoga River, and this river caught fire. The river caught fire. Apparently, it had been used for years as a drainage ditch by the local steel mills. Because of the ships that would come in and out of Lake Erie, it had turned into this giant, slow-moving oil slick. And so one day, a train is going over this river, and some sparks fly off the train and into the water, and the water ignites. The river starts burning. Witnesses said that the flames were some 5 stories high, and the river was so hot that it warped solid steel railroad beams, and it burned down bridges. Can you imagine the scene? This water that is burning, this river that has caught fire. It's ironic because most of us think of water as this pure, life-giving substance, and it is. I mean, without water, we'll die. You can't exist long without it. And yet, if water becomes tainted, then it's useless. If water becomes polluted, then instead of being a life-giving substance, it becomes a destructive force. My guess is, for most of you, when you heard the words church and Christians, the words that came to your mind, well, my guess is they were less than positive. Because it seems to me that the church and Christians have done a lot to pollute this pure spiritual water that Jesus offers. Almost everyone I know has either been hurt by a Christian or disillusioned by the church. And I'd like to just pretend that the water is clear and pure, but it isn't. The water's contaminated. Nobody wants polluted water. You know, most people think of church as a place they go to confess. They step into a booth and confess their sins to a priest, or they talk to a minister about the mistakes they've made. But I don't know, maybe we have this reversed. Maybe the church needs to confess. And maybe there's some things that we need to own, some mistakes that we've made. And so instead of asking you to come to church and confess your sins, would you allow me to represent Christians, to represent the church, and to confess some things to you? I confess the church has turned Christianity into a boring and irrelevant religion that seems to have little place in our world today. I guess I'm wondering if maybe one of the words that came to your head when I said church was the word boring. Do you ever look around on a Sunday morning and you just think, why are there so many people here? I would rather be anywhere else but here. The DMV, the dentist, anywhere. 2 years ago, when I was living in Los Angeles County, California, I went around on a Sunday morning and just asked a number of people why they didn't go to church. And I came up with a number of answers.
I know I should be. I just can't get out of bed that early. I always fall asleep during the message. I don't understand anything the preacher says. There's a big game on today.
Most all of them said in one way or another, the church is boring and it doesn't relate to my life. I guess I was expecting different answers than that, like, I don't believe God exists, or the Bible is full of fairy tales. But to say that the church can sometimes be boring, I wasn't going to argue with that. For many people, the church has given this impression that Jesus is a guy who refuses to smile, hates rock and roll music, wears his hair short and his ties tight, and that the scriptures are these ancient documents that have absolutely nothing to do with our world today. And I confess that some of you were going through some tough times in your life. You were discouraged and frustrated. You came to church, but what you experienced did nothing to give you hope or peace.
It would be like having a heart attack and being rushed to the hospital, but when you get there, instead of treating you, the doctor decides to explain to you what causes a heart attack. Instead of giving you medication, the doctor explains that if you would have taken better care of yourself, this never would have happened. And all you want is for someone to help you feel better. And if you came to church for help, and all you found was 100-year-old music and some preacher who bored you to tears, and no one recognized that you were in need, I'm sorry.
Maybe some of you came to church, and you were lonely, discouraged, and confused, but we were too busy with our traditions, too caught up in teaching our lesson, singing the songs that we knew and you didn't, that we just didn't notice your pain. And I'm sorry for that. You know, if the church can't comfort the brokenhearted, if it can't put its arm around the woman who chokes on her loneliness, or give strength to the addict who every day struggles with his addiction, if the church can't be a family to the widow or give hope to the single mom who just feels overwhelmed, if it can't give me some peace and some joy and some purpose for this journey of life, then call it something else. But don't call it church.
Is this the best you can do on a Saturday night? Do you think I'm stupid? Where's the rest? Where is my money?
See, the church has turned Christianity into this list of do's and don'ts.
To be honest, this has been a problem almost since the church first began. There were these groups of false teachers in the early church called Judaizers. They would go into the church and tell people that following Jesus was good, but that it wasn't good enough. That if you really wanted to be a Christian, you had to follow Jesus plus keep all these rules they said were so important. And while the kind of life we live matters, the Bible would call this rules-based mentality a sick perversion of the real thing. But the church continues to pollute the water. We make it seem that the journey of faith is all about being a good boy or a good girl. We've turned Christianity into this rules-based religion, which is pretty much the exact opposite of what it really is. So a few weeks ago, I came across this website that listed a number of laws and ordinances that we've had in the United States over the years. Most of these have been repealed, but a few of them are still on the books. I think there's a few we should enforce. There used to be a law that said a man couldn't wear cowboy boots unless he owned at least 3 cows. I think that's fair. There was an ordinance in Southern California that said if your Christmas lights were up past February the 2nd, you could be fined $250. There was a law in Tennessee that said it was illegal to gather and consume roadkill, or that you're not allowed to have more than 5 inoperable vehicles on your property at one time. In Kentucky, it was illegal for a woman to buy a hat without her husband's written permission. But my favorite one had to be the law that said it was illegal for a woman to drive a car unless there was a man running or walking out in front of the car waving a red flag to warn oncoming pedestrians or motorists. That doesn't seem fair. I mean, well, what about the man? Rules can get out of hand. Rules can make you a prisoner. I think the church has imprisoned a lot of people with rules. Really, that's all religion is trying to follow the rules. I would hope that no one would ever call me religious. Religion literally means one who is bonded or one who is enslaved, and the Bible teaches that Jesus came to set us free from all of that. But I know the church has imprisoned many people, and if the church tried to make you religious, I'm sorry for that. I know that for many of you, that's polluted the waters. So if you went to church and had someone yell at you for 30 minutes, if someone made you think the Bible was a rule book, if church made you feel like you would never be good enough because you broke all the rules, I'm sorry for that. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, tells a story about a friend of his who ministers to the down and out in Chicago. He tells about one day when this prostitute came to the mission and her life was in wretched straits. She was homeless and sick. She had no money to feed her young daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told her story of renting her daughter out to perverted men. Apparently, she could make more money in an hour this way than she could make by working the streets all night. And this man says he didn't know what to do as he listened to her story. He tried to think of something that would help, something he could say. And he finally asked, "Have you ever thought about going to the church for help?" He says he will never forget the look of pure, naive shock that came across her face when she said, "Church? Why would I go to church? I feel terrible about myself already. They would just make me feel worse." If you read about Jesus, you see the worse a person felt about themselves, the more likely they were to see him as a refuge. And it's just wrong that the hurting and the down and out who flocked to Jesus when he lived on earth don't feel like church is a safe place. A lot of people confuse religion with Jesus and end up walking away from both. I confess that Christians have polluted the water by connecting Jesus to all kinds of political causes and personal agendas. There's this restaurant up the street from my house that serves an incredible steak burrito, but it's covered in this ranchero sauce, which I don't care for at all. Now, usually I remember to tell them, hey, hold the sauce. But once in a while, there's a communication breakdown between me and the server, and they bring me this burrito covered in the sauce. And as much as I like that burrito, if it's covered in ranchero sauce, I won't touch it. And we've covered Jesus in all kinds of stuff. And so you feel like you have to reject him because of what he comes with. It's what one author calls Christianity and. It's Christianity and some political view or social agenda or personal opinion. And so you've got this guy at work who's a Republican and a Christian. Well, that's fine, except for he makes his political views a prerequisite for his faith. And so his coworker, who's a Democrat, rejects Christianity, but what he's really rejecting is a political view. And I confess, many people have rejected Christianity not because they've rejected Jesus, but because they've rejected what we've connected him to. And I hope you'll be able to disconnect him from all those things and just see him for who he really is.
Come to Jesus and surrender all to him and freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Turn with me now to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, if you will. I want to start off this morning with you just by reading to you the first two verses. The tax collectors and prostitutes were all crowding around Jesus, listening to him teach. When the religious leaders saw this, they were appalled, saying, "This man is a friend to sinners. He even eats with them." Jesus was committed to giving his time and attention to those who needed it most, and didn't care at all what people thought about his reputation. But so often today, we call ourselves Christians. We say we care about those in need, but in reality, all we care about is our own image.
I confess, the water is polluted because a lot of Christians just aren't real. A few months ago, I was visiting a town and needed to have some pants cleaned for an event I had that evening. And so I found this business called the 1 Hour Cleaners. I took my pants to this place. I dropped them off with the lady and said, "I'll be back in about an hour. I need them for tonight." And that's when she informed me that they don't clean clothes in an hour. I glanced out the window to make sure that's what the sign said and became frustrated because they are not called the next day cleaners or the whenever we get to it cleaners. They are the 1 Hour Cleaners.
And it can be annoying when what we see on the outside doesn't match up with the inside. The most important thing in my life is my Christian faith. But oftentimes, my life does not reflect that faith. There are many times my faith in God is something that I use more of as a show to try and impress people with how spiritual I am. I hate to admit that, but it's true. And almost every day I think or say or do something that isn't consistent with the name I wear as a Christian. I'm not the only one. Almost everyone I know who's a Christian isn't perfect. They all make mistakes. We all struggle. We all slip. We all fail. I wish it weren't the case. It just is. And I guess what's even more troubling is how many people call themselves Christians, and they don't even attempt to live in a way that Jesus teaches. You should know that the most harsh words Jesus ever spoke on this earth were to religious leaders who acted very impressive and holy on the outside, but on the inside they were something completely different.
Jesus called them hypocrites. The word hypocrite is a Greek term. It comes from the Greek ancient classical theater. In Greek theater, one actor would play many parts by wearing a mask for each role that they played. And my guess is you've known a couple of Christians who wear one mask at church and another mask at work and even another mask at home.
My wife used to babysit for two middle school girls every Tuesday night while their parents would go out with some friends. They were like most families, nice home, two cars and a dog. They knew that my wife was a Christian, and one night the girls asked her about her relationship with Jesus. And after my wife told them a little bit about it, she asked them what they thought. Well, the oldest girl explained that they used to be Christians. In fact, her dad used to be a leader in the church. And then one day, the minister of the church ran off with the secretary and embezzled a bunch of money. And since that happened, they took the Bible out of the house and they stopped praying before meals and at bedtime. And I just want her dad to know how sorry I am that happened to him. I know he was just looking for something real.
Did you see the sign out front? You know the sign, the one that says, no shirt, no shoes, no service?
No, sir.
Oh, you mean you didn't see that?
No, sir.
Good, because it's not out there.
All right.
And it never will be.
Amen.
If we follow the example of Jesus, then this church will always be a place where the down and out are welcome.
Amen.
Where the lonely are loved.
Yes.
Where the hurting are healed.
All right now.
And where the guilty are forgiven. If you walk through the doors of this church, I want you to know you are loved. No matter who you are or what you've done, no matter what others think of you, and no matter what you think of yourself, you are loved. The love of Jesus is not conditional. It isn't based on ulterior motives. It has no hidden agendas. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. There's nothing you can do to lose it. It is free, it's powerful, and it's pure. In your life have let you down, I would like to invite you to meet someone who never will. And if you need a family, I would like to invite you to join ours.
Jesus claims to be this pure and living water that will forever satisfy. It's easy for me to believe that because I've experienced it for myself. But I know that for many people, Christians individually and Christianity as a religion have made it nearly impossible for them to believe. water was ever pure. And I cannot tell you how frustrated it makes me that the only thing I can say is I'm sorry. But I am. I'm sorry if you had an uncle who claimed to be a Christian and had a basement full of pornography. I'm sorry if your parents took you to church every weekend and then yelled and cussed at each other during the week. I'm sorry if you had a coworker who had a nice little Jesus bumper sticker that stabbed you in the back to get the promotion. Or you had a neighbor that every Sunday morning pulled out of his driveway to go to church and then told some stupid racial joke at the neighborhood cookout. I wish there was something more I could say. I know that for many of you, Christians have not at all been a representation of their name. And that's been me sometimes. But for what it's worth, I am truly sorry.
In Jesus' name, amen.
That Christians can be preoccupied with appearances. I confess that Christians can be suspicious and unloving towards outsiders. I know the list is long. When you heard church and Christian, I don't know what word came to your mind, and I'm not going to try to defend Christians or the church, but if you have a long overdue apology coming your way, then let me be one to say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I tried to catch you inside, sweetie, but you got away from me. I'm Claire.
I'm Sarah.
I'm 5 years old.
And this little character is my son.
I'm James.
Listen, Sarah, I hope you don't have any plans this afternoon, because you're coming to my house for dinner. My husband and I always invite the guests from the church to our home to have a home-cooked meal. We'd love to get to know you.
You know, that's really nice of you, but I gotta get going, you know.
Listen, Sarah, you are coming to my home for dinner this afternoon. You get a chance to get a warm bath. I'll give you clean clothes. After that, we'll just sit down, have a nice long talk. Then we'll just take it from there. Okay?
That would be really nice.
God. I like motorcycles.
You know, but I don't think that's such a good idea.
Sweetie, you don't have a thing to worry about. My husband will take care of you. Charles, come meet our guest for dinner.
Hi.
I'm not asking you to forget about the pain and the hurt, or to pretend like the church doesn't have its problems. Here's what I'm asking you to do. To set those things aside for a little while. Because even though we've done a lot to pollute the river, if you follow the river to its source, you will find pure water.
work to do. We know that within us, we do have a long list of weaknesses and shortcomings. I pray, Father, that you will create in us a clean heart. You will renew a right spirit within us. And that, Father, we will be your representatives to those that you would bring into our care. Help us to be the people and the church you need us to be. Because, Father, we want to see more and more people experience Jesus Christ in all his purity and in all his wonder. We pray in Jesus' name.